Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree, and it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome, everyone. This is a very, very special episode.
It's my birthday.
It's
my birthday.
It's Abby's birthday, everyone. Happy birthday, Abby.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here with all of you.
And all of me.
And all of you. I was just telling Bree, there's really no better way that I'd like to spend my birthday. So feeling good.
With me?
Yeah. And in season 17.
Of Grey's.
Just nowhere else I would.
Nowhere else. Nothing more I would rather do than talk about season 17 on my birthday.
It really meant a lot to me. So actually last night I was cursing the world that I had to watch these episodes.
Oh yeah, I know. I only watched one. And then
I saw you leave the Google Doc. You abandoned it.
And then I put myself in a shitty situation this afternoon when I was like, fuck, I have to watch two episodes. But yeah. I did it. We're here. And we're here for you guys. But mostly we're here for Abby on her birthday.
And if you don't know who we are a Grey's Anatomy podcast. We deep dive all the episodes. We're currently finishing off season 17 in episode 15, 16, and 17.
17 for 17.
Wow, that's wild. If you haven't watched all of Grey's up through season 19 around midway, then I would go back and watch that first, then come back because we do spoil a lot of things.
Yes. And if you want to support us, if you want to give Abby a birthday present, you can become a patron at www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. There you can pledge to be an intern, a resident, or an attending. And for each of those different levels, you get different bonus things. You get, like this month, we did a bonus episode on Meredith's last episode.
Supposedly.
She'll be coming back. We also do Zoom hangouts once a month with our $10 patrons. And then
post-op.
Yeah. Tonight we're going to talk about overall feelings about season 17.
Yep. So you only get those bonus post-op topics if you are a $10 patron and you're listening in the Patreon app or with that custom RSS feed. So after we call Time of Death, we keep talking about that. So that's where you can find it. And you can go back and listen to all of them. There's at least a year's worth.
Yeah. So a lot of extra content. If you've already listened to the podcast once and you're on your second go around, you can get more content. Thank you to everyone who is already a patron. We appreciate you.
Yeah. If you notice, if our sound has gotten better, I just want to shout out. We have a great new editor, Andrew. You should listen to Mugglecast or Millennial. He is the host among many other hosts on those shows. And he's just keeping our shit tight.
You know, he's just a nice guy. He's
just a great guy.
Great to work with. So
it's a little celeb moment for me.
Yeah. Andrew. I don't listen to your podcast. I should.
No, you're great.
Because I think
I tell you all the things from it that you should know.
Weren't you on it once?
I was during COVID.
Yeah. So I did listen to that episode and I really enjoyed it. I was going somewhere with this.
You were just like, great guy.
Great guy. Oh, I don't listen to it. But like interacting with him over email, really lovely.
Really lovely. Yeah. And like has to listen to this.
Yeah. I hope he feels really good right now.
Because it's my birthday and we're celebrating Andrew.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Andrew.
My whole point of that being is that putting out a podcast is surprisingly not free.
Surprisingly.
So you supporting us is helping us continue to do this.
Yeah. And like shift and grow and like
build a community.
Yeah. And like change our editor and stuff. So like all of you who are patrons have helped that. Another really great way is leaving us a 5-star review, 5 scalpels, anywhere that you listen. If you have some issues with the podcast, email us.
I was going to say, write it in your journal and burn it.
Put it to rest. You can email us at theoncallroom or theoncallroom@gmail.com.
I also want to shout out one other birthday, our Facebook moderator and fellow Pisces had a birthday this week also. Jade, we love you.
30s. Dirty 30.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Hit the 30.
She's getting her Saturn return. And she also informed me that I'm about to have like a mini one.
Yeah. Which
I think it feels about right.
It feels right to me.
When I read that, I was like, oh, God.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. So it's a great month.
Well, and so happy birthday, Jade. Without Jade, our Facebook group would probably be on fire.
I was going to say horrible people. It wouldn't be. All of you are wonderful, but she makes sure.
She makes sure. And she welcomes everyone and she lets you in. And so if you're not let in, that's Jade's fault.
She's gatekeeping the Facebook group. We have a lot of people in there that just want in.
Just want in?
Yeah, because it's like if they just started listening to the podcast, it was open for all at one point.
No longer.
No.
They got to catch up on the pot.
We closed those doors. Okay, wow. That was a lot of intro
things. Okay, tell me how your birthday's been.
Great. It was
Do you want to tell the listeners how old you are?
I'm 34.
How do you feel
about 34? I just panicked. I was like, did I get that right?
I'm 42.
Like, honestly, with the age aspect, I'm fine. I'm over it. I liked the number 33.
You're over 34 yeah, or a over. Day of.
I've been saying 34 for a few months to mentally prepare myself.
Oh, have you?
I do that. So
that's a good idea. So I should start saying 33.
I loved that number.
Oh, I am not. That sounds so much older than 32. Like 34 doesn't sound that much older than 33, but 33 sounds way older than 32.
Interesting. I get it. I think odd numbers feel like smaller jumps and even numbers feel bigger for some reason. Cause like
35 is fives are always like big ones.
And I feel like I'm close to that now.
Yeah. Like you're that. Okay. So whenever John was like 36, I was like, you're in your mid 30s. And he was like, no, maybe it was 37. I said he was in his late 30s. And he said, no, I'm still in my mid 30s. I said, no,
Did he say late starts at 38?
Yeah, I think so. 39. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm wondering, so 35 is mid 30s. And would you say that goes to 36 and then 37, 38, 39 are late?
I like John's idea that just 38 and 39 are late.
Yeah.
I feel, I just feel really shocked about how fast time is going. I know everyone says this. Also, book recommendation, I'm reading Emma Staub's This Time Tomorrow. It's kind of about time and all that, how fast it goes. And it's fucking me up.
Time does go so fast.
Yeah. And like, I just found, it was actually very funny. I posted it on Instagram. I was going through my Facebook memories and I found this thing that I said. So it was 10 years. So I must be on my 20th birthday, which feels like so long ago. I wrote, in 10 years, I'll be 30, FML.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, oh, that has gone and went.
Yeah.
And now I'm in the beyond.
Yeah.
Like I thought 10 years, 30 was like the end all.
Well, and I remember like 30 was really scary, but I think we've talked about this on the pod. My scary number was 25.
Mm.
And now I'm like, Jesus, what I would give to be 25.
I know.
And know what I know now.
Oh,
like, yeah. I don't want to be who I was at 25. I want to know what I know now and be 25.
But have that energy.
Yeah. And that skin.
I sent Bri a photo of me in kindergarten today. It was my kindergarten school photo. And I said, I want to know what her skin regimen is.
Yeah. I said, youth.
My mom and I were looking at old photos today. And like, I had like just freckles on the bridge of my nose and on the top of my cheeks. And now they're just fucking everywhere.
But I love your freckles.
I mean, I do too, but they were so beautifully placed.
They were. Like, they were just like little, it was like God just sprinkled them right where they were meant to be.
Yeah. And then I found this photo of me at Disney World. And I had the same highlights I have now. Like the front pieces of my hair were really blonde and the back wasn't. Except I didn't pay for that. Like it just
naturally
it just did that.
I know.
So it made me feel good about my current highlights. I was like, oh,
I'm going back. Youth.
Exactly.
So,
it was a great birthday.
That's great.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to hear it.
I'm already looking forward to sweet girlfriends, including you, got me like a gift card to get a massage at this spa. And I'm already like, you know how when your vacation is done, you get the blues?
Oh, yeah. It's
so
awful.
I'm going to like book it for like the week I get back.
So smart.
So I have like something.
Oh, to remind me after we record, I have to get you the person's name who you should try and book with because they were great.
Perfect.
And then you get to go in a sauna and like.
Gonna be great.
Take a shower and they're like
I never
with the
take
nice
shower.
Smelly stuff and like they have shower spray
I want to sit in that outdoor hot tub.
Yeah, that's really nice. They have a cold plunge out there. I never do that.
I don't like that. Yeah. Also, I just have to say Bri got me a gift that I didn't cry, but I hope you know I felt.
Oh, I mean you blushed. So I felt
I screamed.
And there was like a lot of emotion.
When you came in with a thing, I was like, maybe that's something in a frame based on its shape. Had no idea though.
Yeah.
And also my brain was going like, where am I going to put?
I know.
Like my brain was spiraling just because I'm not good at hanging art. I have so much art and it's just literally not hanging up.
Yeah.
Anyways, I know a lot of you know that I do love Harry Potter and I love the part of the fandom that is still incredibly inclusive. can talk on that some other time, but she got me this piece of artwork and it says Dumbledore's Army, and it has all of the names of all of the members of the Dumbledore's Army in the handwriting of the actors that played them. And it's the Mina Lima artwork, which I saw it in New York, didn't buy it, regretted it. And then when I went to look for it online, you can only buy it from the UK, and I gave up.
And
but I did tell
Bri. But she did tell me about it.
Yeah.
But didn't.
Not in a way of asking.
No,
you. I was just, like, showing it you, to
you. Like, over the holidays, just showed it to me and was like, I want this someday. Isn't this so cool? And yeah. I was like, super cool. But then I had to sleuth in how to find this because I'm not a part of this fandom.
Yeah.
And so somehow I did. And
she then got I wanted it in a custom sure. frame. It's in a beautiful fucking custom frame.
Well, because also I was like, this is a piece of art that needs to hang. And I didn't want to, on your birthday, put the work of, okay, now you have to go get this framed.
Well, I still have, because I haven't done yet, you gave me that Hogwarts print.
Yeah.
So I have that, the Hermione that yeah. you gave me, which is her waiting for her.
So I've given you three.
Three no, but pieces. Honestly, think how cute those will look yeah. next to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's this beautiful artwork of, it's like young Hermione. She's got like big bushy hair and it's.
She looks super geeky.
Yeah. And an owl's flying away and she's holding a letter. Like she just got a Hogwarts letter. And she probably has beautiful skin because she's
that,
just so
that
young.
That was another one that you just texted me once and I just saved it away.
It's
for like, you've got to know that like, well, no, don't know that.
No. Like, I'm just going to start speaking things. I really love this couch.
This couch is from West Elm. It's really my vibe.
Vintage Persian rug I've been eyeing. So anyways, it's been a great birthday. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, I see you're also wearing the Stars Hollow sweatshirt.
Yeah, I'm really just funded by Bree Babbitt. So yeah, this sweatshirt is great. It's got a lot of stains on it, though, because I cook in it.
Yeah.
But I don't care. It's my home sweatshirt.
Do I have one of those? No.
Did I get you one first?
No, I got you one. I'm thinking about the embroidered one that you got me of us.
You don't have one of these? No.
No, I have one in that color, but it says Fishtown on it.
Okay.
That's and that's right. what I'm thinking because it's a similar fit.
I got one for our friend Kristen. The same
yes.
sweatshirt.
Yeah.
But you did. This was another one of those things that I think it was my first watch of Gilmore Girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bree's the best gift giver and she knows it.
Abby is also a great gift giver.
Yours are really, this is, nothing has ever topped.
I know. And the thing is,
you
and
knew?
Like, well, yeah. And I'm like, I can never top this. And also it was just like, it kind of felt sad. It was like, it's just 34, you know, like if it felt like it was supposed to be a bigger birthday or
no,
something.
No, that's why I loved it. So anything for you on your side of the world to report?
Not much. I spent way too much money at Target today.
Oh, I did that last week.
Oh my God. I thought like, about you
I bought
while I was
like
there.
Heatless, like that thing you yeah. do in your hair. Like mm-hmm. I bought all sorts of weird shit.
Oh yeah, me too. I bought new shower rings for no reason.
Oh, that always feels good though.
But they were like, the ones we have like kind of came with the house and uh-huh. they clip. And these ones just like.
Yep, yep.
Oh, that's going to be so much better. And got some candles. Oh, I got one of those little plant misters. I don't need to mist my plants, but I wanted it.
Did you go in the garden section?
No, that was in like the five below
oh.
section.
Oh, okay.
And so, ooh, I also got this
you new justify the price.
New gardening gloves with a little gardening apron.
So cute.
And a gardening hat.
You're ready to go.
I'm ready to go. And then everything there was like skin products, hair products, like shit. Some shit wasn't included. Outdoor accessories and something else, all 20% off.
Oh, good day.
So yeah. So I scanned all those and so I needed a new pot because I bought a ZZ plant from Trader Joe's last week because it was a really good deal. And so I needed a new pot and it was on sale because it was outdoor.
Yeah.
And I was so excited. I brought it home. I think it's too small.
Oh,
so
no.
Now I'll just have to get another plant.
To put it, don't return the pot.
No. Also, all of their like, I don't know, you have beautiful outdoor furniture, but all of their outdoor furniture is 20% off right now.
Ooh.
So even if you needed a couple like patio chairs.
Yeah.
Look at Target.
Right I have now. Outdoor furniture that is incredibly nice that I would never afford that I got from
yeah.
someone. Should it be out in the snow
no,
now?
No.
Abso-fucking-lutely not. It's probably being ruined. We just never carried it
I
in.
I did think about that the last time I was here. I was like, that should be in the basement.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously weatherproof because, which the only thing that made me think about it was like, I was like, okay, what about people who live in all around warm places and it gets rained on?
Well, a lot of people with stuff like that have covers for them. I know. And like,
at least the cushions are in the basement.
Yeah.
Which those have been left in the rain many times.
My cushions are just completely destroyed.
Yeah.
It's fine. Anyway, I spent too much money at Target and I was in one of those, like in the middle of cleaning moments where I had like bags of Target in the entryway.
Oh no, gotta hide those.
And John came home.
No.
And I was like, oh, pardon.
And you're like, oh, sorry, those are just
deodorant grabs. Ran upstairs.
It's a pot. Just so deodorant.
Much, just so much.
Just needed some toothpaste.
Yeah. I got some more tulips from Trader Joe's. Oh, wow. I mean, I'm really springing out the home right now.
Yeah. Oh, like fresh ones. Like
fresh ones. Yeah.
The new makeup section of Target.
Loving it.
It's like a Sephora.
Yeah, I got
it. Or is it an Ulta?
It's an Ulta.
It's an Ulta inside of a Target.
Although I really needed a certain thing, and of course they were out of it. And so I got some new like face lotion to try out. Yeah.
I got, you know that Tula brand? It's like blue. Have you ever heard about that?
I've been influenced. Okay.
I got like a whole, I was running, all my Glossier stuff ran out. So I like got new face wash, new primer, new lotion.
Yep.
Like the whole shebang. Because it will change my life.
From Target?
Yeah, that's where they sell it.
And I'm sure the packaging's beautiful.
It's actually not as pretty as I would like it to be, but okay. I've just heard good things.
Okay, great.
What I was talking to my therapist about is that like, it's funny to be self-aware enough to know that they are baiting you and you're believing it, but also to be like, but I don't care.
I don't care and I want this and I will and it will change my life.
Yeah. Like I was like, I get that what they're doing is working.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I should unsubscribe to many emails, but then what if I miss the sale?
Well, and it's also awful because that dopamine hit, man, when you fucking buy
knowing
something.
Something's coming in the mail.
Holy shit. I went crazy on Amazon.
My swimsuit came in the mail today.
Oh my God. Does he know?
No. It's hiding. I was like, oh, some donations came in.
Yeah. Sure. That's great, though. Yeah. Now you have 12 of them.
But I didn't have a blue one.
Yeah, right. I know. And I like, you're
you supported
I get it.
Me.
Like,
you supported me.
I 100% get it.
Yeah.
Oh. Actually, I have a big thing to say.
Oh.
To go to the vet this morning. I didn't have to go, Marja. I had to go to the cat clinic. So we had to give Marja had to have her checkup. And I had a different vet this time. She's totally fine. She was very lovely. So we were talking about Marja's sneezing. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it's better, but like she still sneezes once in a while. And it's still like gross.
Yeah.
You know, but she's definitely not what she was.
Right.
And so she talked to me about like, did this come on like very quickly or whatever? And so it came on really quickly. And so then she's like looking at Marge's gums and she's like, uh-oh. Like, and it's only in one nostril.
And it's only one eye that she...
Yeah, one canine is swollen. Oh. And so she was like, okay, I think, you know, what can happen with cats and probably dogs too is like, maybe humans. It's that canine is millimeters away from your nasal canal.
Uh-huh.
So if you get an infection,
it affects your
nose.
Your sinuses are right there.
Yeah,
right
your sinus.
Teeth?
And since it's in one nostril, she's like, I can't be certain, but I'm pretty sure she might have like an infected tooth.
Oh.
It's like, okay, well, what do we do? So we're going to need to do, she says we need to do dental surgery. And I said, well, from my understanding, that's very expensive. And she was like, it is. Like, we can definitely like quote you on this. And I was like, well, here's the thing. I'm in grad school and I don't have a job. And we're like, and my husband is the only one working right now. Is this something that like we can save up for? Like,
is she in pain? Is she?
Right. Like,
yeah.
And she said, well, she's probably like, she said, what we can do is we need to manage her pain and we need to like deal with infection as it comes. She's getting now monthly shots for her arthritis. And she's like, well, that's not just targeting arthritis pain. Oh. It's just targeting all pain.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So she's like, we can keep doing that for pain management. And then, yeah, if she like has another bout of sneezing.
Right?
Yeah, she's eating another bout of sneezing or whatever. We can put her on another round of antibiotics. She's like, you're not the only people who are like, I can't pay for dental surgery right now.
Right.
And also, it's like not confirmed that that's actually what it is, but we got to put her under and take x-rays and do all the things, whatever. So I was like, okay, well, just send me a quote and we'll like, I'll talk to my husband and we'll make a plan. She also said, well, you could get pet insurance, but now that it's a pre-existing condition.
She's already fucking 12.
Well, now that it's a pre-existing condition, they're probably not going to cover that.
Yeah.
Said, great. So no, but you can get care credit.
That's what we did.
Yeah. So, okay. How much do you think the low end was and how much do you think the high end
was? I got
was?
Quoted for this once because McCoy did go under for his teeth.
Yeah.
For they're like, we might have to pull some.
Yeah.
But he got ended up being the low end. So I think we paid like $375.
$375.
I feel like that's what it was. But the high end was like $1,500, $2,000.
So the low end.
It's like $700.
Was $1,800. And the high end was $2,500 for a cat.
No.
And I was like, this is insane.
Whoa.
So John was like, I think this is one of those things we're going to want to shop for.
Yeah.
Like, we're not just going to take this.
It's also like, can you just pull her tooth like we do with humans?
Well, I think you have to put them under. But also, I was like, can't we just like do an x-ray before putting her under?
They can't. Animals, McCoy had to be sedated for x-rays.
But why?
Because they don't sit still.
Well, can't we just like put her in a tube? I don't get it.
Put her in a sleeve.
Well, no, that's not true.
Put her in the sleeve of a sweatshirt.
That's not true because she got x-rays on her joints and I saw her little kitty bones and she never got put under for that. Huh. They shoved her in a tube.
McCoy, for all of McCoy's x-rays pre-surgeries, he had to be, I don't know if it's a full sedation, but it's like a halvesy sedation, but it's enough that like I had to drop him off and pick him up later.
Oh, that when Marge last time got x-rays, she did not.
Get another quote. This is when you shop around. This is like when I got quoted $1 billion for 4 crowns that I didn't need. And then our current dentist was like, you're fine.
Well, yeah. I'm just like, well, and obviously, okay, I want the listeners to know, like, I love my cat. I don't want my cat to be in pain. And I understand that, like, she's senior and I'm going to have to spend money on her. But, like, $2,500? I don't have that money.
No, that's a lot of money.
For a maybe infected tooth.
Right. If you were like, this is a guarantee, or if it was like her leg needs to come off, it's going to cost $2,500. Okay.
Okay. But they're like, this might be.
Exploratory.
She was like, and also Marge has, this is the last thing I will say. Marge has a shit ton of allergies. Mm. She always has. She licks her belly, whatever. And she's like, it's most likely a tooth thing, but it could be allergies. And if we did the surgery and then that nothing came back, then we can look more into allergies. I'm like, shouldn't we look into allergies first? And then?
That's absurd. If any of you are cat vets and want to do a pro bono surgery.
Oh, God, please. I'll fly you.
It's cheaper. It's
probably cheaper for me to fly you to Grand Rapids. So anyway, that was the big news today.
I have some thoughts on this that we'll talk about after.
Great. Love it. No one needs to hear about it. But
no, but that is. I was so hopeful when that conversation started.
Yeah, I was hopeful at the vet today. And then I was like, well.
Also, tell the listeners what you were wearing.
Oh, I was wearing a cat sweatshirt that said, yes, I do the dillying. Yes, I do the dallying from my friend Reva.
I'd love to know what the vet's probably like. Oh, here we go.
Oh, and I also had a leopard scrunchie in.
You were a literal cat woman.
Yeah. They didn't say anything about it. It was bullshit.
She's probably a dog person.
Oh, that bitch.
I don't know where my dog is. Twice now I've been like, did I leave him outside?
No, he's with your husband.
On the bed?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Oh my God, wait.
What?
Listeners, I have to say this.
Oh.
Jake got a CPAP.
Life-changing.
I'll talk more later. Maybe in a Zoom.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe next week at my house when he can't hear you. Because he doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Should we talk about Grace?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We're finishing up season 17, episode 15, 16, 17, Tradition. I'm Still Standing and Someone Saved My Life Tonight. Stick in, buckle up, put your podcast at 1.5 speed. We got a lot of things to cover.
Monologue. Do you want me to go?
Yes, please.
In some residency programs, graduating surgeons get a wooden chair emblazoned.
Keep going. Read
them. With the emblem of their program.
Not like emblazoned on themselves.
When those residents become attendings, the chair usually goes in their office where it collects dust for the rest of their careers. You give your program years of your life, your sweat, your tears, and in my case, at least your blood, and your program gives you a chair. I suppose it's a nice tradition if you're into that sort of thing, and if you want a constant reminder of the hell you went through to get here. Traditions have never really been my thing, but at their best, they help us remember who we are, where we're from, and those who came before us. They give us something to pass on to future generations. Because if you don't know where you're from, it's hard to know where you're going. Unless, of course, where you're going is home. Meredith Grey.
We've never seen any of them get a chair.
No, I don't know what she's talking about.
When we give test results to patients, we often say normal. We look and analyze numbers within ranges, highs and lows. If the patient falls within the range, we're not worried. But it's imperfect because if history has shown us anything, one person's normal is another's complete chaos. No one likes being an outlier. Patients constantly ask, have you seen this before? How common is it? Is this normal? For so long, we've been conditioned to think if we aren't normal, it's a bad thing. Maybe it's time to rethink what the rules of normal are. Maybe it's time to rethink everything. Meredith Gray.
People often ask what I've learned from surviving COVID. I know they mean well, but it's a really annoying question. Being away from work, my children, getting hooked up to a vent, it's not exactly a masterclass. Though it did teach me something. It taught me that I'm still alive. I'm still alive. People often laugh at that answer, but it's not a joke. Being alive, it's everything. Time to celebrate. And yes, time for pain, time to change, time to grow, time to love, and time to give. Meredith Gray.
Shotgun workup. We have William Lawrence, ischemic stroke.
Luna Ashton, prematurity, gastroesophageal reflux, aspiration pneumonia.
Marianne, pregnancy.
Skylar Nichols, depressed skull fracture, intracranial bleed.
Gwendolyn Yates, cardiac amyloidosis. Oh, and congestive heart failure, comma.
Sophie, tachycardia.
Gurley Bernardo, COVID-19, pneumothorax, multifocal pneumonia.
Teddy Altman, COVID-19.
Okay, buckle up. I really tried to shorten these, but look how long they are.
It's all right.
I need an editor. Okay, it's Jackson's last day at the hospital, and he spends it saying goodbye to those he loves most. While turning in his two-day notice to Bailey, he thanks her and Weber for being role models to him when his father wasn't. When he sits on the bed with Mare, they talk about how she is the last one standing and that it's not an award that either of them want to win. Meredith tells Jackson to give them hell in Boston, and Jackson says he learned everything he knows from her. He thanks Joe for being a friend to him these past months, and she thanks him for being a bridge to her, for her. On his way out of the hospital, he runs into Tom, who approaches Jackson and tells him that after his experience of losing 6 roommates to COVID while he was in the hospital, all who were people of color, he wants to use what is remaining of his life and make himself worthy of being spared. He is aware of the racial inequities of the system, and he wants to move to Boston and help Jackson in any way that he can. Jackson tells him to meet him in Boston at 6 a.m. on Monday.
After finding out that Meredith is healthy enough to go home, Teddy tells Owen that she finally feels joy again. They have a moment of joy together before starting to make out and have sex, which they do later again that day as well. On Christmas, after Teddy heals from COVID, Owen sets up a snow machine and gets down on one knee and proposes to Teddy. She says yes.
She says yes. Good job. Levi finds Helm sitting outside on a bench crying about how hard the pandemic has been on her and how much she dislikes medicine compared to how she felt before. Levi reassures her that she is not alone in feeling this way and ultimately asks her to move in with him as he's unsure how he feels about moving forward with Nico. While being involved in a COVID vaccine trial, Levi flirts with and gets asked out on a date by the one administering the shots. He invites Levi to hang out with him after, and when Levi shows up to someone's house at the end of the day, we are all surprised to see Nico open the door. Levi asks him what has changed, and he tells him that he has changed and that he loves Levi and that he always has. He's been lighting candles every night to make a romantic scene in hopes that he would show up.
Joe has her first shift as an OB resident with Karina. She helps deliver a baby and gets to tell Karina how thankful that she was to know her brother. Karina is headed to Italy for a few months to spread DeLuca's ashes. At the end of the day, she visits Luna and talks to her more about every time she does this job, she thinks of her. Joe is frustrated with the way the social worker is talking about Luna and making medical decisions for her that they don't find are appropriate. After a scare where she aspirated while eating and they had to perform CPR, Joe realizes how deeply she loves Luna and wants to apply to adopt her. The social worker comes into the hospital, denying Luna of the surgery and also telling Joe that she did not pass the background check and is not eligible to adopt her. She convinces Link to foster Luna for a while she works with a lawyer to get custody of Luna. Joe ends up selling her shares of the hospital to Tom Karasik in order to afford the lawyers and adoption fees. We also find out that in addition to gaining money from selling her shares, Jackson has given Joe his apartment for her and Luna to live in. Which is like wild.
Given or if she bought it. But
I don't know.
I think he gave it.
But yeah.
Maggie and Winston ask Richard to officiate their wedding outside of the hospital and he obliges, saying that it's the honor of his life. While planning the wedding, Maggie keeps finding things that are wrong and Winston is worried that she doesn't want to get married to him. At the end of the workday, Maggie realizes that the thing that was wrong is that her mother isn't alive to be there. And that's not something that can be fixed. She surprises him by flying out Winston's grandma and her dad so that they can get married quickly, even if it's just going to be a small celebration. During their backyard wedding celebration, Maggie's dad and Winston's grandma stand up and object to the wedding because not everyone they love is there to watch. The season ends with a beautiful beach wedding for Maggie and Winston with all of their loved ones there to watch. It's officiated by Richard, and everyone looks incredibly happy.
Now that Meredith is home, Link is hoping to get out of Mare's house as soon as he can because he craves quiet and less chaos. However, when him and Amelia finally get a moment to themselves, he admits to her that he would like more children. Amelia is shocked by this, and at the end of a difficult workday, finds herself talking to Owen about this issue. Owen reassures her that she just needs to be honest with Link and that he will understand. When Link texts her to see when she will be home soon, Amelia lies and says that she is still stuck at work. We see Amelia at her AA meetings talking to the other members about how she isn't sure she wants to be with Link or to have more children, but she is too afraid to tell him. Richard talks to Amelia and gives her the advice that it is okay not to want the same thing as Link, and that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. He also tells her it's okay if it doesn't work between the two of them. Meanwhile, Link is buying 3 different engagement rings and is waiting for the right moment to propose. He tries to do it on Christmas, but after Owen proposes to Teddy, he continues to wait. Finally, we see at the end of Maggie's wedding, Link and Meredith's 3 kids are standing to the side on the beach, each holding a ring box. Link proposes to Amelia and he tells her she can pick whatever ring she wants, but Amelia stares at him and pauses. We then see Link close the ring box and end his night at Joe's, asking if there is somewhere he can crash.
And lastly, while back at home, Mare is struggling to get her strength back. Bailey continues to visit her house and encourages her to practice doing sutures and going on walks. Eventually, Bailey asks Mare if she would like to be in charge of the residency program so that she can help shape the future doctors of Grace Sloan Memorial. During her first few months in charge of the residency program, she keeps upsetting Bailey because instead of focusing on the COVID patients, she is focusing on how they can help the COVID patients who are still struggling from long-term COVID, specifically a patient named Gurley, who was a nurse. Mare is still feeling the after effects of her sickness as well and has to sit down during surgery and rest often. Bailey accuses her of creating a bunch of mini Merediths, which is exactly what she's doing. She ends up working hard enough to get Gurley a lung transplant, which saves her life. She and Teddy vow to be this patient's village, and since Meredith had one fighting for her the whole time. Ooh, sorry, that was a lot, gang.
Okay, first notes. I said, okay, Percy, Jackson, and Karev are in an elevator, and now Jackson is in a fancy coat.
I said, throwbacks, this episode is already better than Mare's last episode.
Wow.
Like, the first scene showed Jackson on his first day and his last.
Yeah.
And already I was like, this one was given more time and thought.
Yeah, totally agree. Okay, this is like my next note.
Yeah.
Meredith is in a weird box. Like when she's like being tested.
Doing that lung
test. Yeah, why is she in a box?
I don't know if I was wondering that too, because she's not contagious, but I wondered if it was something to like block any and all other wind flow.
Okay.
I have no idea.
I just have never seen anything
like that. She was doing
that
like lung capacity test. There was a lot. Okay, there was a lot that happened in this episode. I'm going to choose.
In this episode or all of them?
Sorry, all of them.
Okay.
I want to choose to focus on like the parts that stood out and that I enjoyed, because for once of the whole season, there were actually things in this episode that I thought were well done. Specifically like Jackson leaving.
Okay, talk to me about it.
He got a moment similarly to Christina, not as well done, but like he got a moment with so many people. Like he had the moment with Bailey and Weber where he gives his notice and then he gets to look them in the eye and like say how he saw his dad, he never had a dad, but like these two were role models to him. The line when Richard looks back at him and says like something, son,
like, he says, proud of you, son.
We're proud of you, Avery. I'm proud of you, son. Yeah. And like that is, he just went and saw a dad that he wasn't a dad. And Richard is his stepdad and like is more of a dad to him. I just thought he has the moment with Joe. He has the incredible moment with Meredith.
Yeah. I also love the joke after he said that to Bailey. Yes. And then she's like, wait, that means he's our boss now.
Yeah, like there was humor in it. I specifically thought there were so many side-by-side shots. We had the elevator one in the beginning. Mm-hmm. We had one where Jackson is leaning on the edge of like
the hospital balcony thing.
Yep. And instead of basically all the people that were with him were like dead now.
And then, or off the show. I think the only one who's not is April. But she's off the show. Who's not dead?
Right. And Leah Murphy was... Oh, sorry. I hit the table. Leah Murphy was in the shot too, I feel like. Wasn't she part of... No, she was below him, right? She's with Steph.
Yeah, and, she's with Steph.
Yeah. I just like... I also, with all of these throwbacks, I forgot that like Jackson has been here. He He was part of the Plastics Posse with Mark.
Yeah, I mean, he was came, I think, in season six.
Yeah, so he's been on a really five long or six. Time.
No, it was six because the shooting episode was the end of season six.
Okay.
And that was because we didn't have all of those people for a full season, I think.
Right, I think you're right. Also seeing those orange scrubs.
Yeah.
He hasn't aged much at all.
No, I would say my favorite part of that whole episode and its flashbacks was all the flashbacks at the end where he's pulling his car in the ER, but like in the ambulance bay. The,
yeah.
And that like jolly music is playing. And there's like a bunch of different scenes with a bunch of different characters.
Yeah.
I felt like they were really special flashbacks and really intentional. While what was being said is like, because if you don't know where you're from, it's kind of hard to know where you're going unless, of course, where you're going is home. That monologue is being said over, like, all of those flashbacks. So the idea of, like, he has to know where he's from, like, all these things. I thought it was lovely.
Oh, I did, too. Like, I thought the flashbacks were intentional. Just like you said, I really enjoyed the scene with him and Meredith.
When he, like, I get why she didn't do, like, the clap out.
But I hated him wheeling her out.
Okay, me too. I was like, this is so annoying.
Yeah,
in the parking
I hated
lot.
That, but I loved the clapping that happened at that third episode.
Yeah, we'll get to we'll that. Get,
yeah. Like, so I would have rather it just been them walking out.
Yeah.
I did not think he needed to be wheeling her.
Yeah, and like, that also felt no like, one was in the parking
that
lot.
That felt like Ellen Pompeo.
Yes.
There are moments when I'm like, oh, yeah. That's kooky Ellen Pompeo.
Right, that's not Meredith Grey.
Meredith Grey, she's dark and twisty. She would never fucking laugh while being giggled and pushed.
Yeah, no.
No, so, but the conversation they have together, when he tells her he's leaving, Mare says, I win. Like, she just pauses and she says, I win. I'm the last man standing. And he's, like, confused. And she says, it was you and me from our residency class. And there was, like, a flashback of all of them walking.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else has either abandoned me or died. Why did I write the – someone must have said they probably should because it sucks. I think it's – this crying scene is more emotional than the whole Mare Goodbye episode. I think – yeah, so in that scene, Jackson kind of gets teary.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that was – sometimes I feel like in shows when characters leave, you can see that's Jesse Williams – saying goodbye. I think him and Ellen are friends.
Well, wait. Go back to the quote about it sucks, because I think she ends up saying that it sucks being the last
one.
Oh,
yeah.
It's actually not a good thing. Like, right. It's lonely. And
yes.
Not-
and I think that's how she feels, like...
Yeah.
In
real life and also in the show.
Right. Yeah. And so then it's like he kind of looks away and tears up, and she says... you give him hell, Avery. And then he says, thanks for showing me how. And I felt like that was a good line too, just because like Mare does give people shit all the time, mm-hmm. which isn't always right. But I thought it was a really lovely moment. And Jackson's emotions were really real to me. This is like to me the perfect example of when this happens in a show is, this is nowhere near perfect, but like when Steve Carell left The Office and Jim says like, I would tell you that you were the best boss, you know, like, and they are feeling things. And that to me was like John Krasinski saying goodbye to Steve Carell.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes in a show, there's like moments where it slips. And this kind of felt like a moment like that.
Yeah.
A much smaller, but.
I think in that conversation too, that was really powerful. Maybe not powerful is not the right word, but when Mare ends up saying like, or telling Jackson, like, that's a big name to live up to, and how she gets that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, they both understand each other in a way that, like, they have parents who were gods in surgery. And so I think they really get each other on that intimate level.
I know. It makes me wish – and there were definitely a ton of moments in the show where they relate on that. Mm-hmm. But it makes me wish that they had more
– same.
Friendship together.
Yeah.
Because I actually feel like, and I know Alex left, was it this season?
Alex?
No, Alex left last season, 16.
Yeah.
Right? But like, I felt like, and I know it was COVID, that they could have, and Meredith was in a coma for half of the season. But had it not been COVID, I would have liked to see more Jackson Meredith.
Yeah.
I think he could have somehow been a person to her.
I agree.
And they just never, they ran out of time.
Well, because too, like, she's so close to Richard, and Richard is like his
right.
stepdad and stuff. There could have
right.
been. And Matt, he dated Maggie. Yeah.
I just feel like I feel like Jesse Williams got out in a time before the show decided to do whatever it's been doing the last two seasons, and he got like a proper send-off.
I would agree with you. Okay, but now we have to come to the Tom Karasik part of it all.
Okay, I wrote his whole thing down, which I don't need to read.
Oh, you don't.
If you want me to, I can. Okay, I think that the thing he realized, like when he was sick with COVID and he lost six roommates, he mm-hmm. was the only guy who was white out of all of them. I believe strongly that what he's feeling and what 2020 looked like, that he does have this feeling of like, fuck, I need to do better. Yeah. Also, he's been kind of a shitty guy a lot of the time. Like he has this knowledge and he's an incredible surgeon, but he's kind of an asshole mm-hmm. and whatever. So like, I like this idea of him wanting to like, be a better person. It just feels incredibly rushed.
Well, yeah, like the line, like, let me become worthy of being spared.
I want to be an ally.
I was like, Grace, you could have done better than that.
Right, because honestly, like being an ally isn't just like you're like, flip a switch, I'm going to be one now.
Right.
It's done in the quiet, small moments that matter when no one else is noticing that you're doing it. But like, it doesn't need to be this big presentation.
Grand gesture.
That's very like, what's the word? Self-
It's performative.
So, yeah, performative.
Yeah.
Which like, I guess he really was doing it in front of just one person. He wasn't like standing on it, but a mountain shouting this. It felt, I don't know. And then also I just want to say they've never continued this conversation. Tom has showed up again
yeah.
multiple times and he's still just Tom. There's no mention of like the work they've
like
done.
Like the racial equity and, yeah. you know, work on racial equity and in yeah. the medical system and. Yeah.
Like what he comes back for the one guy from Center Stage. What is that actor's
Peter,
name?
Peter.
Yes, Gallagher?
Yeah.
He comes back in that story.
I think you're
line.
Right. Yeah.
And there's just no, I don't know. It's just, it could have done, I think he could have had a different out.
Yeah. I remember it feeling, not because this, like the sentiment or the idea of it is wrong. Mm-mm. But I remember it feeling really ridiculous in the writing and how rushed it was. And it still felt that way the second time watching it. Like, where is this coming from? What are we talking about?
Because it almost made it seem like the patient, the elder that he was working on is what made him flip. You know what I mean? Like made him have this realization mm-hmm. and like of this inequity
yeah.
that all of a sudden there is. And I think it could have been done better as like a slow like over the past two seasons, he could have been involved in cases.
Yeah.
But instead it was like this, I don't know, big thing. Like I liked
I'm sorry.
No.
Also too, like the whole idea, it's like, but you also are white and male and extremely privileged. So like you could do something even without Jackson. Like
yeah.
him being like, use me in whatever way.
Right.
It's like, well, then it becomes Jackson's responsibility.
Exactly.
To like, put you in a space, like also just like go do it.
Right. Also, I guess I don't quite understand what he's going to because he is a neurosurgeon.
I don't know.
Like to me, he should just stay being a neurosurgeon, but maybe like do pro bono surgeries, do research, do
yeah.
like
yeah.
other things. So it just felt like a shitty way of trying to like, I don't know.
No, I didn't care for it.
No, I didn't either. And I'm bummed because I think Tom has really great moments of softness. Like the line when Owen said to him, I know I wouldn't wish this upon anyone. Like Tom feels bad that he lived.
Yeah.
And I think they could have like leaned into that more without it having to be this like performative allyship thing.
Yes.
So I'm sad he's gone because no more joy in the show for me.
okay. What
he's
else?
He's like the male. Okay. He's not the male Christina. No one is ever close to Christina, but his humor is like snarky. And
yeah,
there's like no one snarky on the show right now.
Yeah. It's pretty dry and sarcastic.
They're
and
trying to
a
make Levi
gruff.
Snarky in the new seasons. And it's not.
Yeah.
The same.
It's a little like gruff.
Yes.
Or
yes.
like, what's the word I'm looking for? Where it's like, not insensitive, but like. I lost it.
I like the balance of when someone is like mean moment of whatever. Like, and I'm only using this example of Christina. She is so much more. You all know I feel this way. But like that moment when she goes out and tells George about her dad
mm-hmm.
is such a surprising moment
because
mm-hmm. you don't expect that from her
mm-hmm.
with George. You do with other people. And so like, I felt like Tom would have like bad moments and all of a sudden like something would surprise you.
Well, would like deepen his character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Other than that, Jackson's episode was great, in my opinion.
Okay,
so.
Great. Okay.
Also, why does Mare have perfect hair in the hospital? Who the fuck curls their hair? Her hair was incredible. I want to shout out, though, but it didn't make sense.
No, I thought the same exact thing.
She had the most healthy-looking hair she's ever had on this show. Yeah,
it's because she wasn't working.
And she just had COVID.
It's because she wasn't working, so she was thriving and not stressed. Yeah. Okay, I maybe want to talk about Mare in the end at the end of the episode.
Perfect. Great.
So, maybe we can just briefly touch on Joe, if you have anything to say.
Yeah, again, it felt rushed.
Mm-hmm.
But then I guess Luna's been in the episode. She's been in, like...
Well, and I could sense that this is... Well, we knew it was building. But I do think that they were trying to paint the idea that, like, she felt very strongly about Luna. But it did feel like it kind of came out of nowhere. She was like, I'm her mother.
Which I'm wondering if that's because we binged 9 episodes in 3 weeks.
Sure.
And if it was, like, that had been a 9-week arc. Right. I did feel... Like, yeah, that realization moment she had was a little weird that she was like, I'm her mother.
Yeah.
I don't know if they needed that line, but I understood that she suddenly was like, oh, I feel way stronger than I should.
Right. Like, I'm not just her doctor or I'm invested in, like, her well-being. Like, I want to be her caretaker. She is more to me than.
Yeah. It was interesting. I don't know how I felt about her selling her shares to someone who's not on the show anymore.
I know. I felt weird about that.
That was weird. At first when she's like...
But although I guess they don't really do anything with the shares anyway. It was weird that she asked Link to buy them from her.
Right. He didn't.
And also, well, I guess maybe we should talk about Amelia and Link before... Or we can briefly talk about... Link ends up fostering this... child Luna for...
But he's not really taking care of her, right?
No, because she's still in the hospital.
Right, so it's just on paper.
It's just on paper, so no one else will adopt or foster Luna.
So it's a good workaround the system. I understood Amelia... We can talk about Amelia, too, because I feel like that's the other big topic, is, mm-hmm. like, Link and Amelia. I do think that I'm bleeding into that, but, like, Link's argument to Amelia that, like, I took in Mare's kids because I love them. Like, mm-hmm. I understood Amelia being like, why are we doing this? But also I did feel like it was like, you compromise. Like,
mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see in season 19, Joe and Link, are they going to become a thing?
Right. I feel like it's been building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, because she told him she loved him.
Yeah. It makes more sense to me than...
Yeah, they've been like best friends. He was there for her when Alex left. She moves in with Luna. But also when he comes there, I don't understand. He has his own apartment. Why was he like, is there a place I can crash?
Did he just need to be with someone?
Maybe, but I feel like he ends up living with her.
But also when Amelia and Link were in Link's house, had they moved there? Because they moved out of Mare's?
I also feel like Amelia would be the one to very quickly go back to Mare's. Yeah,
I agree. I don't know. The Luna thing, whatever. What I'm not looking forward to is season 18 blonde Joe. She dyes her hair blonde in the beginning.
Which I don't.
But she's a mom. That's great. Happy for her. I feel like if Alex left her and they, like, this is a good storyline for her.
Yes. So. Yeah. So the Amelia thing, I think I thought it was really well written.
It made so much more sense to me in this rewatch.
Yeah, I agree. And the part where, like, you know, they end up having sex and it's like, mm-hmm. quiet in the house. I assume that Scout is put to bed. You know, there's not, mm-hmm. three other kids who are of like conscious being around, right, you right. know? So they put the baby down, they have sex and it's like, well, what are you thinking about? And then, you know, Link has wanted all this quiet, mm-hmm. because they've been taking care of all these kids. And then in the quiet, he realizes like, oh, I actually like the chaos. I don't, you know, he ends up saying to her, like, I'm thinking about like, what if I got you pregnant? Which would be like kind of a scary thing to hear if you don't want to have kids again.
Right.
And so what I thought was really interesting is when Amelia kind of comes to terms with it, hasn't talked to Link yet. She says she doesn't know if she wants any more kids. She doesn't know, mm-hmm. if she can love more than Scout and Link without losing herself. And I think that is such a powerful thing. And this also speaks to choice, because I know of many stories of women who have children and then have gotten pregnant again for however they did it and ended up choosing to have an abortion because they did not have the capacity to have another child.
Which was a storyline that was, I don't think you watched the newest episode of Grey's that came on after Mare's.
Oh, I haven't watched it
yet. They show an abortion like from step one to the end.
Wow.
And it's a woman who has many other kids.
Yeah.
It happened on accident. She's like a good mom.
Yeah.
And they see that she's not doing well. She's suffering all like from postpartum from her previous kid. And they end up giving her this option. And it's like this, it's a very beautiful episode. But I feel like it's the same.
Yeah.
Like that is when choice is important.
Yeah. And then I think the other thing that is so important is like I appreciated like watching her through different meetings and then also talking to Richard.
I loved her talking to Richard.
And then I love when she said she doesn't want what he wants, and she doesn't know if it's disease thinking or if it's her. Like, she doesn't know if it's her addiction that doesn't make her want another kid or to be married, or if she just doesn't want that. And I love Richard's, like, response in all of this is, like, and I'm sure, are you pulling up the quote?
He says the addiction – he says, we often think that the addiction is the only reason that our lives are a mess, and then when people get sober, they figure out, like – my lives are still a mess. Like the addiction is a part of it, but it's not everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I love all of his advice. You're you're allowed to want what you want, even if it's not what he wants.
Yeah. And also the part of giving yourself permission for it not to work.
Oh, like that was beautiful when he said that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that like, I love Richard and Amelia and their relationship. Mm-hmm. I always have. And I thought it was just such thoughtful advice. And I agree with you, Abby, that it makes so much more sense in the second watch, maybe because it was so condensed. But from the moment that they were laying on that ground and she was like, I don't really want to get married, that is how she has felt. And then she struggled with it for 3 episodes.
Right.
The one thing I will say, she's not communicating it to Link.
No. And she even talks about how she's afraid. I think she's afraid to tell him because I also think she's fine with how things are.
And I do wonder if she would have communicated that, maybe he would have been fine with the way things were.
Right. Like not married, no more kids, but continuing their little like eclectic family situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so when... It's the juxtaposition when he's showing Joe the rings.
Yeah.
There was a funny line when Joe's like, wait, we're just doing the baby thing. Like this.
Yeah.
And Link says, that would be funny if that wasn't Amelia and I's like literal situation.
Right.
But like he is just so, they are not on the same page.
No.
That proposal is so cringy because I actually think like we as viewers are aware that she's not going to say yes.
Right.
And I think the first time I watched it, I must not have been paying much attention because I remember being like, why is she saying no?
Well, I don't know, though.
I think was also cringy with the children there.
I think as the first time watching, I think we don't necessarily know that she's going to say no because Richard like pretty much gives her the encouragement of like, give yourself the option for it to work out or not to work out. Like you can want
that's true.
Something.
Yeah, yeah,
so we like, I think maybe as viewers, we thought it would be like, okay, I do want to make this work. That was the conclusion she would come
true.
To.
That's true. Okay, that makes sense.
And then I think this time watching it,
we knew the outcome.
Right.
I could see the signs.
Right.
Yeah. I remember being like shocked. I was like, why did we put all this time into Amelia and Link if like it's just not going to work? But I actually feel like it was like, it actually had a little bit more density to it than I thought.
Yeah. And again, I really feel like it could have maybe still have worked had they communicated
more.
Oh,
for sure.
You know? Yeah. And I'm not saying that's Amelia's fault, but even Link could have been communicating more because Joe even says, you haven't talked about marriage again since that time she said she didn't want to get married. And he's like, well, no. I'm just going to like, I'm thinking about it for the past 4 weeks, so I'm just going to propose.
He's thinking doesn't want to be impromptu, compulsory, is that he's been planning it, but that is not what she meant by compulsory. Like, it needs to be a conversation. I felt so bad for both of them in that moment.
Mm-hmm. I felt bad for those kids being there.
Oh, for sure. Poor Zola.
Yeah.
At least the other ones don't really get it as much. But, like, I feel like he was in such a vulnerable position. And then also, though, she, to have to be the one to say well, she didn't even have to say no, but, like.
Do you think that she would have said yes if it was at Christmas time? I wonder if she would have said yes. I wonder if she would have said yes and then said no because she was in front of the entire family. But it's like,
yeah, why is he bombarding her in front of people? I'm not a big fan. Although, I'm sorry, your husband bombarded you in front of me. But I was pretty sure you'd say yes. That was like, there were many conversations there. I think like first of all, don't hijack someone's wedding.
No, that's not fair.
I didn't feel bad for him on Christmas.
I know he like pulls it off the shelf and then he's like, it's snowing.
That was wild.
Yeah.
So anyways, I don't know. The signs were there and that's the end of it for them.
Yeah. Because they don't get, no, we're like moving into.
He's going to be like angry Link. And then he turns into asshole Link.
And then he like forgives her.
Yeah. Like the end of season 18. I'm pretty sure. So
we're about to get into that.
Okay. Really quick. Because I don't want to talk too much about this. This is going to be a long episode. Sorry, listeners. Winston and Maggie's wedding was beautiful.
Okay. Both of them. Number one, what is their floral budget? Oh. They're insane. That backyard wedding, the arbor.
I forgot about that part and that it was canceled.
Dude, those flowers had to have been so thousands of dollars. Yeah. Thousands upon thousands. As someone who loves flowers and who
had a wedding.
Ours were thousands of dollars, and it's very limited amount of flowers that you get for that. Like that arbor, that's like $10,000.
Oh yeah, for sure. Her look specifically at the second one was top tier.
Gorgeous.
The bangs.
Gorgeous.
And just like, oh my God, she looks so fucking good. Her teary eyes.
Winston looked great too, except for that one moment his tie was crooked. Yeah.
I loved it was the white jacket with the black.
So good. Well, way better outfit, I feel like, than the first
one. The backyard one, for sure.
Although Maggie looked fabulous in both.
But even better in the second one.
Oh, yeah.
I just couldn't get over it. For sure, theirs is the prettiest Gray's wedding.
100%. I thought the same thing. And I did feel, I remember watching this the first time and being kind of annoyed. I'm not going to lie. And this second, and like, you know, I get weird about dance scenes now because I like feel like it's not the same as like old Gray's. Oh, no. But like, when they were all dancing scenes. And then when Bailey went, woo, I got teary eyed because what it felt to me too was like
end of COVID.
People are celebrating again and can be in like communion with each other. And we all know what that felt like to miss out on those big events.
Yes.
And all those doctors being together and like just close. It just like, I feel like that. And when everyone screamed woo at the same time, it just. You've been to a wedding where everyone knows the song and does the same move at the same time. So I thought it was a really good
depiction. The dance scene juxtaposed, which I've said twice this episode, drink when you hear it, with Mare and Teddy operating. Yeah. I thought it was a really cool side-by-side. Also, I got really emotional. Oh, I got teary-eyed when Maggie talks to Winston and she's like, what's missing is my mom.
I know.
And I forgot his mom has died too. But like that realization that she has and that it's never going to be perfect was very like, oh, I could even like my mom was at my wedding, but like I could think about if she wasn't and I couldn't even imagine. And so I thought that was really beautiful. And then that she surprised him with them. And then it made me so sad though when they couldn't hug their parents.
It made me annoyed. I was like,
I mean, yeah, it was dumb, but it was also like, that was a thing
it totally was. But it just to me felt like another check in the box of the COVID
for
thing.
Sure. You know, many where checks in the box.
It was like, oh, you know, you have to quarantine for 10 days before you can see. I was just like, I can't stand another check box of COVID.
Don't worry, they're almost done.
Yeah.
But then we have, you know, like Roe v. Wade in the next. So
I thought it was like, and I loved too that they were like, we object. And they're like, are you serious? And I loved Maggie's response of just like, give me champagne. And then like Ellis being like, can we cut the cake? And Maggie's like, I don't care. I don't care what we do. And Catherine laughing.
Catherine's like, what is Meredith wearing to that second wedding?
Hideous. Awful. Why is she walking down the aisle with all the kids?
It's like a frumpy sweater. Yeah. Which like, wear to something else. It's a cute sweater.
But not to be like a matron of honor.
Everyone else was dressed to the nines.
Yeah. Bailey looked fabulous.
Yeah. Like, I was just very thrown off by that sweater. And that whole like opening scene. I guess it was to show like Mare's at a beach, but she's not dead. It's like Mare at a beach alive with her children. Mare looked, I have so many notes, but I'm like, what is Mare wearing?
I also loved that it was in these episodes that they asked Richard to officiate, right?
Oh, let's go back to that.
I got very GGB'd about that. Because
it would be the honor of my life.
Because, okay, I have been in the situation, not rich, this same situation where you say something and then like you ask about future plans and then you realize like, oh, I wasn't implying I needed to be invited, or like you feel really awkward.
Right.
And I loved that he was like, I just wanted to like talk to you about that. Like, and I love that like Maggie was like, well, my dad's going to walk me down the aisle. And he was like, well, of course. Like, you know, but we would love it if like you could officiate. And
like he missed out on all of her life.
Yeah.
And it wasn't his choice. He didn't even know she existed. And so him being invited to officiate his daughter's wedding, I imagine is incredibly emotional. And like, I don't know. It's just, it was really beautiful. And it just made me so happy. And like, I mean, I still can't get over that. Like Jake and I got to officiate your wedding. Can't get over it. And that like, I remember asking Jake's grandpa to officiate ours. And it's just like, it's a very special role if you want it to be.
Yeah.
And so I just felt so happy for him. And I loved his thing about like your soul found its soul partner, whatever. It was like spiritual, but not too spiritual. I love the tradition of the jumping over the broom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that. I mean, I've not ever seen that, which is wild because I think I've been to like 400 weddings.
I think it is, what is the African tradition of jumping the broom? Brooms are waved over the heads of marrying couples to ward off spirits. The couple would often, but not always, jump over the broom at the end of the ceremony. Jumping over the broom symbolized the wife's commitment or willingness to clean the courtyard of the new home she entered. I don't know about that part.
Right.
Bailey and Ben jump over the broom too.
Okay. I love that they included that. I love any tradition.
Yeah.
I'm actually, just so everyone knows, people are like, oh, we're not doing the traditional things. I fucking love cutting the cake. There are things that like, some weddings don't have a lot of culture in them. So like, let's grab onto all of the ones we can.
Yeah.
And I love traditions like that. So I love that they included that.
Yes.
It was really lovely. Okay. Let's maybe...
Teddy and Owen are back together. Let's just say that.
Yeah. And I actually wildly felt good about it.
Yeah. Except the one thing I didn't feel good about.
Her bra. You had a I had a note too.
It was outrageous. She would not be wearing that bra to work.
No.
It's gorgeous.
It was like black and blue. It's like Thistle
Inspire. Oh, like lingerie. Like,
No. That was unrealistic. I literally had the same note. Also, they had sex on that. I mean, you can have sex anywhere, but that bed was so small.
Yeah.
And then all I could think, okay. When she was laying on top of him and they were like, ugh, you know, whatever. Yeah. I was like, is he still in her?
You know what? All I could think was when, I can't believe I'm going to say, I feel like I can't. I'll tell you after.
Okay. Ooh, in post-op?
Maybe. But, and then she gets COVID.
Yeah.
But she's okay.
Yeah. I think it was moment of relief when they opened the door.
And I think also too, it was to show that some people got COVID
and
were okay. And it like, cause he even said like,
only showed people that went to the hospital.
Cause he was like, it was bound to happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I think that also showed too, like we've been working in this, we're all testing negative. Your patients are, it's okay.
Yeah, you're right. That's probably why. That moment, I felt joy for them. I felt joy for them at the proposal, even though it was super cheesy. Just was like, okay, good. We're through this, which is why I need them to stop fighting in season 19.
Yeah, because they're just like supposed to be together.
And yeah, let's embrace it. Like,
yeah, let's let it be.
Yeah, so let it be.
Oh,
rest in peace, George Harris.
Last week. Okay, we got it. You know we got to do it.
What?
Do you know who I'm talking about? We got to go to Nico and Levi. And I don't want to stay there long, but we got to go there.
First of all, that guy was so hot.
Yeah, he was.
He really looked like a hotter Jason Mraz.
Yeah,
like
he was super hot.
Yeah, and okay, love though that Levi got a moment of being pursued.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes, great. Necessary. I don't remember that.
No, me either. I also love this man with the most anxiety ever is a part of a COVID trial. Like that was kind of funny to me because like should not be like he's just too anxious. And I loved when they're like, you might get when it's not actually a drug.
Oh, the placebo.
The placebo. And he's like, but I want to get better. Like, I want the vaccine. You know, I just thought that was so funny. I was surprised by his choice.
I was too.
And I don't know where this ends, but I would have liked to see him go on a date with the new guy and grow.
I was annoyed that like Nico. Okay, let me get to my notes about this because it's actually very important.
I have his statement.
Oh, okay. Go for it. You go.
He says, I panicked because I love you. I'm just really used to... Oh, that was Levi. I'm just really used to you not feeling it back,
mm-hmm.
which fucking sad. I've always felt it back. I just couldn't say it. I never want to be without you. I love you. I'm in love with you. Blah. That's it.
And then he says he changed because of Levi. And I have a huge eye roll on there.
Also, you shouldn't change because of someone.
Yeah. And no, that's just bullshit. Like, mm-hmm. No, you've just been a dick this entire time. And then now all of a sudden, and then the stupid candle thing annoyed me.
I know. I think like, it was supposed to be like Mare Dare House of Candles, but it's
He's
not.
Like, wait, you didn't know I was coming here? No, I've been lighting these candles every night, hoping you'd come here. And I'm like, Nico, you are a waste of space.
And he's like, that's something I would do.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, yeah, because he changed. Because, yeah. And I don't believe it. I don't believe that he has.
My one point to Nico is he looked really hot in that scene.
Oh, yeah. He looked great. But like.
But no, not. I wanted Levi to go on a date with the other guy.
Yeah. And I think we were thinking that's what he was doing when he knocked on the apartment door. It was kind of hot that, you know, Levi picked him up, but. Or, sorry, Nico picked Levi up.
Oh, yeah. That was nice.
Yeah.
That was a nice moment.
But I don't like them together.
No. And they kind of fall apart, I think.
And also, too, him, like, being like, I just want to take care of you and, like, make you soup and watch Lord of the Rings. I'm like, but do you? You might in this moment, but I feel like you actually don't want to do that.
No, and you don't even get Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, so fuck you.
I'm trying to get it.
It's okay. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel like the last thing is Mare, unless we have...
Anything. I think I'll have random notes coming, but let's talk about Mare. I did feel a GGB. A single GGB. when she got home.
Uh-huh.
Just like what that would feel like and like her kids seeing her. I don't know.
I think the GB I got in it was that Amelia was like, fuck. Like, oh, we had all this shit planned. And Meredith was like, this is how I like it. And like you... Meredith telling Amelia, like, you did great. And yes. I'm so grateful.
It was Amelia, the way Amelia was looking at Mare.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Amelia believed she would ever, like, walk back into that house.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really special. Okay, the last episode got really confusing with the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
It was bouncing between 2020 and 2021.
It was, yeah. So, like, it started at Mare on the beach, which was 2021, and then it went back.
To like right back
it went
current.
Back to It went back to August 2020.
Right. And so I got confused a little bit with the time jumps.
Yeah. Okay. Speak
up. I mean, like, I appreciated them showing, I guess, like that, like COVID, sometimes people have long-term symptoms.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. She's going through that. I was confused why Bailey was visiting her at home. And then I was confused why Bailey was mad about Mare's focus on Gurley. Like, I thought the Gurley storyline was great. This is what I liked about it, is that Mare came up with the idea of doing a lung transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that has been done to COVID patients, I'm mm-hmm. guessing, like that. And that then Christina, that was the best moment for
yeah.
me. That Christina texted and Mare says, don't forget who did it first.
Right.
Because Christina's going to do the same surgery that Mare just did.
Right.
That was fucking great. I loved that. I love this idea of this poor woman that like doesn't have a village. Mare is being her village. But I was just very confused about the whole Mare timeline. I also remember loving the idea of her taking over the residency program and it just went fucking down the shithole.
Yeah.
Those are my thoughts.
The Bailey thing. I think she's showing up just to like check on Meredith, uh-huh. you know, like obviously she's recovering and there's like this frustration that Meredith is like, people keep telling me like, I'm going to get better. And like, what if I don't? So stop pushing me to do that. With the Gurley thing, I think it was more of like Bailey, like leaning into, we have procedures and like Mare kind of being like, those didn't work. And mm-hmm. we don't like, these patients deserve us to fight for them in a way that like.
We've not done before.
And then what was the last thing you said?
just the Christina thing.
Oh, I loved the Christina thing.
I didn't remember that mention.
It was nice to like see her name on the screen again and to know that like, that's twice now this season that mm-hmm. we've gotten a little text with
and
her.
None again.
At the end, when Mara's sitting there, I'm like, do doctors actually sit in patients' rooms? Because I'm pretty sure they do not.
No, they're like, bye.
Yeah, they don't hang
That
around.
Did make me a little emotional when she woke up. Like, you're
was
here.
Like, you're here.
Yeah, which it was also like Mara being like, I'm here. I'm alive.
Yeah.
I didn't die. I didn't stay in my beach.
Can we talk about the clapping?
Yes, because I loved it.
I did too.
Okay, so she leaves the wedding. Her and Teddy go. I love when Owen is a willing father. Yeah, and Mare's like, absolutely. Will you watch my children? He's like, yes, I will take them off. Like, he always does that too. Yeah. So I do love when they lean on each other in that way. They go, they do the surgery together. I love that it's Teddy and Meredith because Teddy had to operate on Mare. It's like this whole thing.
I love too, during it, in a little late.
Oh, yeah, you're good.
I love too, like, because we saw when Mare was doing a surgery in the timeline before she had to sit down. And then Teddy asks her, like, do you need to take a break? And Mare's like, no, do you? Like, it's showing that time has gone by. And they both had
COVID.
Yeah, that time has gone by and she's doing better now.
And so this patient also had been there a long time. They walk out of surgery and everyone is there from the wedding, which also I was like.
Yeah, confusing. Yeah. Maybe the wedding was over.
Yeah, and because it could have been a really late surgery.
Yeah.
And they show up and I feel like surgeries on Grays are always happening at random hours. But everyone I know, it's like 8 a.m. Monday morning.
Yeah, unless it's like a very emergent. Yeah. Even when it is, it's like, you're going to be fine. You're on these meds until we can get you in Monday morning.
And so they all applaud. And that applause felt so much better than if Mare walked out of the hospital and got out applauded.
Totally. It's like she did a surgery again.
And saved this girl. And like, she's back to herself.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had GGBs in it. And honestly, this moment between Bailey and Mare was better than the fucking finale of Mare and Bailey.
I agree. When they hugged and she said, like, I'm going to do it my way. When Bailey says that to her, it was like, oh, this is so good. And it's being
alive. Yeah, she said, you did your things your way. I'm going to do a mine.
Yeah. Being alive, it's everything. Time to celebrate. And yes, time for pain, time to change, time to grow, time to love, and time to give. And that is like what is going on there. And everyone's like, it doesn't feel super cheesy to me either. I don't know why. But like, it also just, it felt like everyone felt like their character, but they also felt like the real version of themselves in joy of like, we made it through this season.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we did it. You know,
it felt, I'm thinking in comparison to the season 19 Ellen Pompeo final episode where they pan around at the people's faces and you're like, what the fuck? I feel nothing. This is so dead.
Yes.
This felt very alive, very happy. It felt really real.
Yeah, I agree.
I wrote, this is a joyful end to a shitty season.
Yes, I totally agree.
So trying to see if I have any random notes.
Oh, I guess we have to, you had quickly mentioned that like, so Mare's taking over the residency program. It is funny too how like she's not doing any of the things that Bailey wants her to do.
Of course not.
But then like Bailey ends up being like, fine, I'll make the call to Yunos as long as you bring back Grand Rounds. Like, you have to give me that. And she's like, oh, fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
See, the third episode that we watched ended or started with Mare Dare music, or was it beach music?
It felt like Mare Dare music, but it wasn't.
So is that beach music?
I think it is.
Okay.
It almost like goes into Mare Dare music.
It feels like a remix of that. I'm seeing what. Oh my God. We didn't talk about. Oh my God. The part that made me cry is in the second episode, the storyline of Gwen, the older woman whose husband died.
The dog made you cry?
Yes, but just that she was so lonely.
I know.
And like, she didn't have anyone. And then on top of all of that, her dog ran away in a storm.
Yeah. And then they found Jupiter.
Jupiter. I literally like, I don't know. That actress was really amazing to me. It was like, kind of like the old couple. I just was like, this poor woman is so isolated right now and has no one. And they have that whole line where like, do you feel something? Like when the dog is reunited. I love that they're like, we called all the shelters.
I know. And he was like 2 hours away or something.
Yes, he was almost in Tacoma.
I love too that like, I think it pointed out like people were really lonely during COVID and stuff. But also her husband died and she was like, he was the outgoing one. She's like, I'm not good at people. I'm not that like, exciting or, you know.
I felt her deep.
I'm not that interesting.
Yeah. I felt her deep in my soul in those phrases. Of just like that self, like not feeling like you are worthy of being whatever. And then Helm, who I think sometimes feels similarly, gives Gwen her phone number.
I know. And says, call me. Did I give you my number twice? call me whenever.
I wish that I would have loved show me Gwen again and Helm and her are getting lunch together. Yeah,
that was really sweet.
Yeah, the dog just really fucking broke me.
Yeah, I felt like that was a good part.
Yeah. Also, Joe getting back in bed and crying.
Yeah.
Made me sad because she hasn't done that in a while.
Also, Ben has a tumor.
Yeah. Oh, that fucking part is clearly on Station 19, but stupid. Why did they shouldn't have even put it in Grace. No.
And then when I wrote, Ben has a tumor, wait, what? And then Meredith goes, Ben has a tumor?
Like, yeah.
Oh, and then there was that patient with the brain lighting up with the guitar and the.
Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, that was wild.
I felt the dad did a good job acting. Mm-hmm. Hey, sweetheart, when he came in and said, hi, sweetheart.
I had GGBs yeah. about the dad.
Yeah. I'm telling you, we'll talk about it in post-op, but these three episodes were better than the whole season.
Yeah. Okay, the episode's title originated from the song Tradition from the musical Fiddler on the Roof. This is really funny.
Sean!
This is, we were driving out to my parents the other day and I was driving. So I got to put my music on and I was listening to just a random Broadway, like, whatever. And I skipped Fiddler on the Roof because I was like, I'm not feeling this.
Who was mad?
John was like, excuse me, did you just skip Fiddler on the Roof? So I had to go back. Anyway, that's.
I haven't seen that in years. It scored 4.58 million viewers.
At the time of airing, this was announced as the last episode to feature Jesse Williams as Jackson Avery and Greg German as Tom Krasick as part of the main cast. Yet they both appeared again in surprise cameos in the finale.
What? In this finale? Are they in the wedding scene? I didn't see
them. I didn't see Jackson, but Tom is on a phone call. I don't remember seeing Jackson.
This episode takes place on June 21st, 2020, as seen in Vanel Kirby's incubator.
Goof. Taryn points out a clot in what Tom says is the internal carotid artery, while the images on the screen at the time show a level higher up in the brain that said artery does not reach.
I should have edited that one out. The episode's title originated from the song I'm Still Standing, originally sung by Elton John.
It scored 4.33 million viewers.
This episode spans 6 weeks. The last episode took place on June 21st, 2020, which means this episode ends somewhere around mid-August 2020.
Cindy Drummond, the actress who plays Gwendolyn Yates, is in this episode, also portrayed a patient's wife in season one, episode two.
Interesting. Oh, wow. We just have two Elton John songs. I was wrong. This episode title originated from the song Someone Save My Life Tonight, originally sung by Elton John.
It scored 4.76 million viewers.
I'm just going to skip that. The song used in the trailer for the episode and its last scene is To Begin Again by Ingrid Michaelson and Zayn Malik. Is that the guy from One Direction?
I don't know.
Sorry, everyone, if you're yelling at me.
Sarah Drew visited the set while the cast was filming the Maggie Winston wedding in Meredith's backyard. She was on the studio lot to record audio for Look Up Child.
What's Look Up Child?
I don't know. I think an episode.
Huh. This is the final episode to be co-written by Andy Reeser, who had been part of the show's writing staff since season 11.
When Ellen Pompeo had signed on for the 18th season earlier, contract negotiations with Shonda Wilson and James Pickens Jr. dragged on. With season 17 coming to a close and the show's future still up in the air, Krista Vernoff had to decide.
Design.
Oh, design for this episode to be fitting for both a season and a series finale. She requested Disney have an answer about the show's future for her before the finale was actually filmed, presumably to allow for some changes.
It could have been a series finale.
It really could have. I think it would have been a better season
series because finale. Because we're like, she's taking over the residency program.
Yeah.
I do kind of remember that we were like, is the show coming back?
That honestly would have been a fine. I feel like it would have been fine.
Other than the Amelia Link, like.
Yeah, that wasn't really wrapped up. But presumably they could have changed that.
Right. Damn. Okay, it should have ended. This episode marks the final regular appearance of Jesse Williams and Greg German.
It marks it's the final episode to credit Giacomo Giannotti as a series regular.
This is the sixth time a season finale contains a wedding following the finales of season 3, 11, 12, 14, and 16.
In the scene where Richard and Amelia talk after a meeting, there is an artwork in the background created by Ayanna McKidd, Kevin McKidd's daughter. Oh.
This episode ends with the following note. Producers wish to acknowledge the Grey's Anatomy health and safety team whose dedication made the telling of these stories possible.
That's nice. Kevin Fox. It's tough. It's tough, tough, tough. Tough.
Like it's Jackson's last, but not Amelia, not Link. Do we have to give it to Mayor?
Maybe Richard? He officiates and he gives Amelia really nice advice.
Let's do it.
And he says he's proud of Jackson.
Let's give it to Richard.
Richard. because we love them.
Okay, we don't have a beach scene to rate technically as far as like fake beach. So we're just rating as a whole. Okay, I'm going to say it. I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Okay, I'll give it a 6.99.
Ooh, it almost was a seven.
Almost a seven, but wasn't quite there for me.
Okay, great. If you want to hear our thoughts on the overall season 17, please stick around in post-op. Otherwise, thank you for being with us for a whole nother season. I think there might be a break.
There's going to be a week break.
Yeah.
And then we'll be jumping into season 18, which we've done some.
Right. We watch these live.
So, but we're going to do them again. And so maybe we'll have different thoughts and feelings. Similar kind of thing, probably three an episode.
Yeah.
So join us for that. Thanks for, can't believe we're here.
I'm really in shock. Yeah. We love you and stick around for post-op. And time of death is 2019.
Beep.